And now the best reason I've ever come across not to slam the door shut when a traveling salesman rings your bell. He may just end up giving you a vital organ which you need in order to stay alive. Paul Sucher experienced that firsthand shortly after Jamie Hauer showed up at his home in Twin Falls, Idaho. Both men came by our studio yesterday to share their remarkable story. Let's hit rewind and have a listen. Jamie, when you first rang the bell, what was your plan that day?
Obviously, I work for Kirby, Scott Fetzer Corporation. My job is to sell vacuums. That's how I get paid. So initially you offer to clean the carpet for free in hopes that after seeing the product, they choose to buy one. So initially, of course, you go in, we're attempting to make money. I hadn't actually met Paul yet. Paul was not home. I met his girlfriend, Andy, who actually works at City Financial there in Twin Falls, Idaho. After speaking with her and finding out that they couldn't afford a Kirby because of medical reasons, I got inquisitive and just asked why. She told me that Paul had been on dialysis for almost 3 years. His kidneys had completely failed, and he was dying. I mean, that's what happens. I got a little more in-depth and asked, well, why haven't they found him a donor? I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know how the process worked. I didn't know what anything was. And she explained to me there's a list of over 500 people waiting for what's called a cadaver donor, which means, unfortunately, somebody has to die.
But they were an organ donor and then...
Right, and they keep their body alive,
sure,
but they're brain dead, and then they harvest the organs so that other people could, you know, prolong their life. Well, he was, unfortunately, so far down on the list that the reality was, after hearing the whole thing, was that he probably didn't have the time to be on the list long enough to get one.
Which is really interesting because you guys are both in your mid-30s, right?
35 apiece, yes.
So, Paul, when did you first fall ill? When did you discover you had this issue with your kidneys?
Approximately 3 years ago.
What happened? You were just not feeling well?
You really don't know what's going on. You just become extremely fatigued. You get ill. You think it's going to go away, like when you get anything, the common cold or the flu, and you delay going to see the doctor. And finally, when you get sick enough, you go in, and they just tested my blood and said you had full renal failure. Your kidneys aren't working, and that's why you're sick. And at that point, they put you on emergency dialysis, and you spend some time in intensive care. And, you know, they get you going and treated again, and you're able to live on dialysis. And then you try to get medically and financially qualified to get on a transplant list at some center. And we went through that for about a year, and I eventually became qualified, and I sat on that list for a couple years until Jamie came along.
So what were you thinking when you realized, gosh, time is just passing and passing and passing, and I'm not getting this phone call about getting a kidney?
You know, it's just kind of a mental thing. You just got to fight your way through it and go to work every day and try to get through life even though you're sick. And hopefully someday something happens and they move you up the list. Fortunately, Jamie came along and I got a live donor, which I would encourage for anybody because that's really the way to go. It's the only way to get one quickly.
I would say, Jamie, you are a live one. Definitely.
thank you. Yes.
So how did the conversation actually start when were you thinking that you might be able to give your kidney?
Actually, after talking to Andy, like I said, when I got into it a little deeper, she told me that he was O positive. Believe it or not, O positive is actually a very common blood type. The problem with O positive, though, is they're a universal donor, but they can only receive O positive, which means any other blood type could get an organ from anybody else. O positive people can only get an O positive organ. When she told me that, I was like, okay, I'm O positive. And, I mean, she just asked. I mean, this is her, life partner.
Sure.
This is her husband. I mean, 5 years, 6 years, kids. I mean, they share kids together between two families. They're a mixed family. So, Paul has five kids, two of his own and, three of hers. And so it came down to, she just asked, would you consider being tested? And I was like, well, making small talk at this point, that's something I'd have to think about, but all right, so you're not buying the vacuum. Okay, I'm going to go outside now, I mean, my normal job. When I got outside, I got to thinking about it. I'm 35. Paul's 35. If I was in his position, and I have three kids of my own, a wife, and I didn't have a future. Every day was the next day. Okay, am I going to wake up tomorrow? I thought about it, and I'm like, if I have the opportunity to help somebody, I have to take it. So I called my wife first and foremost. She's the biggest part of my life other than my kids. And then I called my father, who's a doctor in Idaho Falls and has personally started four nonprofit organizations over the years. So I've been around giving my whole life, asked their opinion, and then, of course, I prayed. And after praying, my little sister is like my guardian angel. She passed away. I had a complete calm feeling, and I just knew that that was what I was supposed to do. So within 15 minutes of meeting Andy, I hadn't met Paul yet, I went in and told her, if there's any way that I can help, I would be glad to. Because you have to understand, even though I went through the massive amount of tests, you still may not match. There could be things wrong with you. There could be things wrong with your proteins in your kidney. And it may not have worked. At that point, she called Paul and said, Paul, you might want to come home. There's a gentleman here that is willing to help if he can. So Paul came home. I met Paul. And you've just met Paul. So after meeting Paul, you have to understand, Paul has a very large presence. Even though he was, you know, technically near death, most people at his stage of kidney failure are already on disability, full disability. Yet Paul would go to dialysis 3 times a week at 4 in the morning, then go home, change, shower, and go to work in order to support his family. And after, you know, meeting Paul, I was like, there's no way that I could walk away from this and not try. So I met him on a Saturday. That Monday, I was in the hospital, went ahead and started the tests, and miraculously, 90 days later, I was almost a perfect match, and we went to Denver, Colorado, the University of Denver, Colorado, which was awesome. They were great to us. Transplant center, and we both laid on a table next to each other, and the outcome is perfect because he's healthy.
When you walked in, Paul, and you told medical authorities, hey, I have a living donor here, did they meet you with any skepticism? Like, are you paying this guy? Do you have to buy 500 vacuum from him?
Very much so. We actually had to fight with them over that. They were very skeptical. They're not used to goodwill donors stepping forward that are unrelated like that. Most of them are brothers or sisters or parents, and they proceed forward. The other problem with it is there, you know, there's 500 people just on that list out of Denver. That's just the University of Colorado. So they're backlogged. Their workload's really heavy. So you basically just become part of the system, and they kind of push you through. You've got 2 or 3 transplant coordinators handling the entire load just out of that hospital, which isn't even close to enough. And, you know, basically they... you would just wait your way through the system if you didn't push. And we had to push. They attempted to schedule this surgery for 12 months down the road. And I was medically qualified, financially qualified. He was a full match. And they said, okay, we got to give you guys a year to get to know each other because you're not related and because of the skepticism involved. And that was very troubling for me. I had been on dialysis for pushing 3 years at that point. I was extremely ill. Inside of a year, a lot of things can happen. If anything else goes wrong with you, then you fall off. You can't even qualify for the surgery. If you get sick, if you get diabetes, if anything else, any complications arise. So we really had to get with them and push for it. Inside of about a week of 12 phone calls and then an extra flight to Denver that lasted just 2 days for Jamie and I, we went there and did some psychological evaluations and some additional blood testing. And we were able, in the very last meeting, to push it through and get it scheduled for August the 8th. On August the 5th, we loaded up in the car, and we drove 900 miles and got it done.
Paul, did you ever buy that vacuum cleaner?
No, I did not.
I think you need a new vacuum cleaner.
Actually, they have a Kirby. It's an older model. They have a Kirby. So, it was an attempt to upgrade them, but it's not about the vacuum anymore. That's the ongoing joke now with all everything that we've talked about.
You're a better
donor
than a salesman.
Yeah, I got sold.
Jamie Howard and Paul Suture, thanks for joining us, and good luck to both of you.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks.
We'll post the video of that interview on our blog today. Look for it at npr.org/Bryant Park.
And coming up on the Bryant Park Project, Jill Sobule, she's going to sing for us. She's going to talk to us. She's sitting 5 feet away from us. We're talking about her like she's not here. Stick around. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Thank you.